It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. You live it up the wall. Where you get the best sports talk and info in New York.
Hey, relax. All right, don't try to strike everybody out. Strikeouts are boring. Besides that, they're fascist. Throw some ground balls. It's more democratic.
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Sheeran.
Hello, everyone. Once again, welcome to the Off the Wall podcast, which is brought to you by DirecTV. Don't just watch TV, DirecTV. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Joe Auriemma, Chris Sheeran, and Eric Kennedy of BigBlueInteractive.com. And wow, DirecTV sponsoring this podcast couldn't get any better than football coming back, huh, Eric?
Yeah, that's right. I actually got DirecTV myself so I can watch all the different games, not just the Giants games myself.
Let's just start with the 800-pound gorilla in the room, and that is O.C. Umenyiura when it deals with the Giants. You know, he gets fined $30,000 for not showing up at camp the first day. Then he shows up at camp, and then the trade goes back and forth. Now there's no trade. Now he's saying he needs knee surgery. What's going on with O.C. Umenyiura?
Yeah, it seems like every year we have some sort of drama going on with the Giants, and this is the, you know, the Umenyiura situation is the 2011 version. You know, he wants a new contract, and the Giants don't want to give it to him. My position on this basically is, you know, Umenyiura, if people recall, he played very well in 2007 when the Giants won the Super Bowl. He missed all of 2008 with an injury. 2009, he played very poorly, and he actually ended up getting benched, if folks recall. And then in 2010, last year, he played fairly well. So in the last 3 years, he's had one good season. He had 1 year that he missed completely and one poor season. So the Giants gave him a big contract about 6 or 7 years ago, and he's at the stage right now at the end of the contract where he sees guys like Charles Johnson down with the Panthers get big bucks, and he's not happy about it. So he wants a new contract, or he wants off the Giants, and the Giants are holding firm on this.
Well, I don't see how you could ask for a new contract. I see other guys around the league getting these contracts, but the Giants were over the cap when this free agent frenzy began. So how could you, in your right mind, regardless of what the Giants promised you, if there even was a promise between he and GM Jerry Reese, you know, why not just come to camp, save the drama for your mama, keep that in the off season, and, you know, let's go win another Super Bowl and keep our mouths shut. And if I do that, then I'll probably get rewarded for it.
You know, if there was a promise, he didn't meet the promise. The promise was, according to him, is if he played a couple of strong years. Well, he didn't play a couple of strong years. He had one bad year and he had one good year. So even if there was a promise, you know, he didn't meet the conditions. But you're right. You know, the thing is, what's nuts about this is he, you know, he's looking at to his credit, he's looking at the situation as he's in towards the end of his prime. He knows he's got maybe
he needs to get that one more contract.
Exactly,
he needs to get paid one more
contract.
Because let's not forget, let's be fair. In professional football, nothing is guaranteed. Only the money up front, that, you know, a signing bonus or what have you, that's guaranteed. But it's not like baseball. If you blow out your knee, you sit on the bench or you sit down in Tampa or wherever, and you keep getting paid. Football, you know, if you hurt yourself and they cut you, you're done. You get no money, correct?
That's correct. But if you're on injured reserve, for instance, the year in 2008, he got a full contract too. So
this is true, but you're talking about a guy that's been rocking the boat, and, you know, at one point, I mean, come on, coming back to training camp after the labor agreement and coming together and being ratified yesterday, he's like the iceberg to the Giants' Titanic. Let's push forward and not look back here, you know?
Yeah, and the other thing I'll throw out there, which a lot of people haven't been talking about, is I'm not sure he's the best right end on the team anymore.
Well,
they got Jason Pierre-Paul, and
let's talk about that.
Kiwanuka, so.
Eric, let's talk about that.
Okay.
That's where I was going next. Without O.C. Umenyiura in the fold, how does this defense stack up?
Well, you know, OC would be great to have, because if you've got the more pass rushers you have, the more problems you present for defenses. But I think they really like this Jason Pierre-Paul, who was a rookie last year. And, you know, they slowly brought him along, and he was very, very raw. He only played 7 games in college, and that's all he started in college. and they really like him. Robert Nunn, the defensive line coach, was interviewed yesterday, and he said, you know, in all the years he's been in the NFL with many different teams, he said he's never seen a player with the skill set that this guy has.
Wow.
I think they really like him. And then they got Mathias Kiwanuka, who can play both linebacker and defensive end, and they're going to sort of use him in that hybrid role. So they actually have more players than most teams have. OC would be nice because, again, if people get hurt and you can rush for, you know, they can bring in this what they call that joker package, mm-hmm. where they can bring all these guys in and pass rush. But, you know, if they get a decent value, you know, I'm not even sure if I'm the Giants, I hold out for a number one. I would look for a number two and maybe a number four or something like that, because I think they've got the talent there. Now, what matters though is the injury situation. If you lose a Justin Tuck, if you lose a Kiwanuka, then things change, of course.
Let me throw a couple more names out there for you. The first one is Clint Stinnum, and the other one is Prince, who signed, I believe yesterday.
Yes,
so
yesterday.
These two guys, Stinnum's coming back from an injury. He impressed. Now, it was only in the preseason games, if I remember correctly, but he looked like he was all over the field before he got injured. So what can he bring to the defense, and what about Prince?
You know, Sintem's a strange guy because he's got the talent, but I don't get the sense the coaches trust him yet. They said a few nice things at the beginning of training camp. It's still early. So this is a big year for him. He got hurt last year, but even before he got hurt, you know, the Bullock sort of took his spot. I mean, even though Sintem was handed it early before Bullock had signed late in camp with the Giants. So he's got the talent, but they've got a lot of young linebackers right now. Fans say the Giants, you know, don't do anything at linebacker. Well, they've got some interesting young guys now who seem to be doing fairly well. So he's a guy this is a key year for him. If he doesn't do it this year, you know, I think you have to start wondering if, you know, his future with the team. Amukamara is a very, very interesting guy, and I think the Giants are going to use him a lot in sort of their base defense. Even if fans out there recall last year, the Giants used a nickel package a lot early, even as their base defense, where Deion Grant would come onto the field.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and this is what we're hearing out of camp early, I think they're going to kick Terrell Thomas inside in that Deion Grant role. Not as fans shouldn't think that they're moving Terrell Thomas to safety. They shouldn't think that way. But they're going to, when they go to this nickel package, Terrell Thomas sort of becomes an inside corner type safety. And then Amukamara, I think they want to use on the outside with Corey Webster. And that's the kind of defense that I think you want to use against the Eagles and the Packers and these pass-oriented teams. You know, you want to get that third linebacker off the field, and you want to use a guy like Prince. Now, Prince didn't help himself by holding out.
Right.
He's missed four practices, so hopefully he can catch up. And, you know, they, with the lockout, they didn't have the OTAs. Mm-hmm. They didn't have the mini camps. So they were going to have to.
Well, hopefully he was doing it on his own. Now let me make the transfer over to offense. And the main thing that concerns me, if I'm a Giant fan, and I am, by the way, would be the offensive line. They cut Sean O'Hara. He came into camp not even ready to practice yet. He's still nursing his injuries from last year. And also Rich Soibert, he was cut as well. So you take 2/5 of that offensive line, which has been banged up, if you look at it, the past couple of years. And if you insert 2 new guys into this offense, even though you have your running backs back there, you still don't have Steve Smith signed yet, and he's coming off a microfracture surgery. Are you a little bit worried about Eli Manning's protection this year?
Yeah, because, again, I think the talent's there, but the cohesion's not there. And I don't know if you know this, but Kevin Boss just signed with the Raiders, so that's another guy that up front in the blocking department they're going to miss. Even though Kevin Boss wasn't a great, you know, he wasn't a Howard Cross or a Mark Bavaro type blocker, he was a decent blocker for the Giants. And now they're going to be scrambling a little bit, I think, to find a blocker up there. They did sign Ben Patrick from the Cardinals, who's a decent blocker. So we'll see. But I think the key guy is BD at left tackle. If he can handle the position, he's got the talent. They like him. They just want to get greater consistency out of him. If he's all right, Deal's fine at left guard. David Boss is a good center. He's an upgrade over O'Hara, and I liked O'Hara, but Boss is a big, powerful guy in his prime. And then we know Chris Snee's really good. Kareem McKenzie had a really good year last year. if everyone stays healthy, this actually may be a better line than last year talent-wise. The key thing here is the guys they had in the past played together for a long, long time. They knew each other inside and out, you know, each other's moves, and a lot of playing the offensive line's talent, but a lot of it is not making mental mistakes. They have to come together pretty quickly to deal with blitzes from different areas and so forth. But I think the talent's there, but I share your concern. I think that is one of the big question marks is the cohesion up front with the offensive line. And on the other, opposite side of the ball with the defensive line too, because Barry Colfield's gone. They're going to have some very young defensive tackles. And if Umanure's gone, you're looking at Pierre Paul starting. So both lines, it's a bit of a transition year for the Giants, and that's probably their biggest question marks.
Hey, Eric, how are you? It's Joe Auriemma.
Good.
I actually wanted to ask you about Kevin Boss. Now, he signs with the Raiders. Is there anybody out there that's a hands tight end that can go out there and you know, give Eli Manning that extra target out there that's still available on the free agent market that the Giants can go out and get now?
Not really. The free agent market's really there's not much out there with tight ends. And that's why Kevin Boss was probably a very important re-sign for them. But he didn't get a huge giant contract with the Raiders, so I think the Giants thought, you know, they really like him. Eli really wanted him back, but I think they saw him as, you know, a solid average to above average tight end that they just weren't going to spend a lot of money on, plus a guy who's had the problems with concussions the few years, and you know how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really see anything out there. I think they're going to go with Ben Patrick. They got Travis Beckham, who's more of an H-back receiver, and I think they're going to expand his role this year. They got Bear Pascal, who can play tight end and fullback, but I think they're really going to scan the waiver wire when the cuts start happening. And I wouldn't be shocked if they move Umanure, that a tight end might not be involved in with a draft pick coming back in the other direction too. So, you know, there just isn't that much out there at tight end. There's no guy out there right now where I'm looking and thinking, geez, I wish the Giants could get him. Zach Miller was interesting, but he signed with Seattle. So.
Yeah. The wide receiver situation, I want to ask you about that. I know – you know, Akeem Nicks is huge for this offense. Manningham's going to be huge. Steve Smith is not signed. What's his status? And, you know, the Giants seem to have been concerned because they were really in on the Plaxico Barris situation, but obviously he went to the Jets. So what do you make of the wide receivers on this team?
You know, the Plaxico Barris situation is one of the strangest things I've ever seen as long as I've been a Giants fan, because – the Giants have never been that public wooing a free agent before. They've never sort of gone out and the owner was talking about it, the head coach was talking about it, the GM was talking about it. They bring him in, and then they offer him a contract that has no guaranteed money. It was basically, in other words, they offered him a contract that had less guaranteed money than they gave Herzlick, the linebacker from Boston College.
So they made this a public situation, and then they go and offer him no guaranteed money.
I don't
think
they really wanted him. I don't know what they were doing, but I don't know what the motivation with that whole process was. But they certainly didn't back up their, you know, they didn't back it up with a contract. So regardless of what you feel about Burris, I don't think the Giants were all that hot after him. But the guy to watch, and again, I'm going out on a limb here because people are going to say he was just a preseason flash, is Victor Cruz. I really like Victor Cruz, and I just heard a Gilbride interview on Giants.com where it was, of all the guys he talked about, Victor Cruz was the one he sounded the most excited about. I think Victor Cruz has a chance to be a very good wide receiver to team with Hakeem Nicks and Mariel Manningham. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Steve Smith, I love Steve Smith. I just don't know what's going on with his knee. You know, he had the microfracture surgery. If you hear his posts or on his Facebook page, he thinks he's coming back and being fine. But, you know, with these knees, and especially less than a year out,
right,
you have to worry about that. But they got Victor Cruz. They got Ramses Barden, who's a little slow right now coming off an ankle surgery. Devin Thomas, who they picked up from the Redskins last year, he's been actually flashing early in camp. And they drafted Jernigan in the draft. So, they've got some guys. Just again, they'll be okay as long as people don't get hurt. Because I really, right. I really like Hakeem Nicks. I think the guy's going to be a star. And Manningham really was their big play guy last year. So if Victor Cruz comes along, and you know the big if is Steve Smith, they'll be very talented at wide receiver. That'll be the least of their problems as long as health.
Yeah,
health isn't an issue.
Yeah, and you know they got Ahmad Bradshaw back. He, you know, was shopping around, and you know, ultimately, it looks like the Giants got him back for a pretty good deal because there was no place else for him to go.
Yeah, they played hardball with him, and they got him back for a great contract. And I really like Bradshaw a lot, but again, he's a guy that was a first time starter last year. He had some fumbling issues. He was a little bit nicked up because he wasn't used to carrying the ball that much. I think they want to give Brandon Jacobs some more carries. So it would have been bad, I think, if the Giants had re-signed him to a huge contract.
Mm-hmm.
Now they got him really on the cheap. It's a really good contract for the Giants. And so they got him. They got Brandon Jacobs. You know, DJ Ware's a guy that they've been trying to get on the field more, and I wouldn't completely discount him. So I think they're in decent shape at running back. The offense is pretty good. The offensive side of the football is pretty good. If the offensive line can, again, build that cohesion, they won't have problems scoring points. My biggest worry on the offense is the cohesion on the offensive line and the tight end situation right now.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of cohesion, you look at basically the Giants' rival here with the Eagles. and, you know, they go out and – you know, for years and years and years, the Washington Redskins thought they could, you know, kind of pick and choose who they, you know, got, you know, on the free agent market, and it never worked out. However, this was a pretty talented Eagles team even before they went and did this summer, signing basically everybody and everybody wanting to sign there. So what can you say about the Giants' rival and what they've done with their team?
The thing that, as a Giants fan, that I love is they're calling themselves the Dream Team.
Yeah.
You got to love that, because any time a team does that, it's like the kiss of death. I mean, this has been a very un-Eagle-like offseason. They normally don't do this type of thing. If you want to rewind a little bit, the favorite going into the last year in the NFC East was the Dallas Cowboys. Everyone was talking about the Cowboys. No one was talking really about the Giants or the Eagles. I did a radio show last year, and I said, I think the Cowboys got issues on defense. I said, you know, people are underrating the Giants, and they're underrating the Eagles, and I think those are the two teams at the end that are going to be vying for the NFC East. And the Eagles are a very talented team, but I tell you, the Michael Vick's been a very inconsistent player throughout his career.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm an Eagles fan, I'm a little bit nervous about that. And defensively, getting the corner from Oakland was a huge coup for them, but they've had some problems on defense the last few years. And people forget, you know, that horrible Giants-Eagles game in the Meadowlands last year. That not only sort of wrecked the Giants' season, but for whatever reason, it wrecked the Eagles' season, too. The Eagles didn't win after that game. They lost a embarrassing game at home to a bad Vikings team, and then of course, they lost in the playoffs, and they sort of petered out. So, you know, the Eagles are definitely going to be the favorite, but I tell you, I love it when a rival is considered the favorite in the NFC East, and then to throw, in addition to throw that Dream Team tag on them, that's that, to me, that's just gold.
How about we play a little football first?
Okay, yeah, exactly. and to be honest with you, the Giants had that game won. I mean, that was one of the strangest things I've ever seen.
Let's throw into the mix also, Eric, that Asante Samuel is already barking that, well, I guess they don't need me anymore, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, I missed that. I didn't see that.
Yeah. So, you know, it's all about chemistry too. So we'll see. Let them get on the field. I know they're talented. But let him get on the field, like Hakeem Nicks said. Let's play some football.
I like it when the Giants are underdogs. When they're the underdogs.
Yeah, and Justin Tuck said the same thing. You know,
yeah.
That's when we won the Super Bowl. It was the whole world against us. So,
yep.
Speaking of the Super Bowl, do you think the Giants make the playoffs this year, Eric? Just a couple more. We're talking to Eric Kennedy, BigBlueInteractive.com. We're going to talk how they're partnering with YesNetwork.com as well. But do you think, Eric, that they make the playoffs this year?
Oh, it's early. You know, I have to see them in the preseason. I think they've got a lot of talent, but they're a little bit of a team in transition. You know, they were good enough to make the playoffs last year, but they just shot themselves in the foot down the stretch. I think they are good enough, if you're going to put me on the spot, but I have to see them play a little bit in the preseason too. I want to see how Linville Joseph's going to do at defensive tackle. They got Marvin Austin at defensive tackle. You know, these young guys that go with Chris Canty at the defensive tackle. And then we got to see how Beatty does at left tackle.
Right.
If you know, those the lines are the question to me. Those lines, the transition that they're going,
yeah.
if it's a quick transition, this is a good, very good football team. If the new guys, if they're growing pains, you know, I could see them starting off a little bit, struggling a little bit. The good thing, bad thing with the Giants' schedule is it's a easy schedule towards the beginning, but I think it's very difficult mm-hmm. down the stretch. So they need to accrue some wins early in the year, and they can't be up and down too much here.
I know they extended Tom Coughlin through 2012, but if they get off, I don't think the Giants will ever fire someone midseason. But do you think if they miss the playoffs again, do you think he sticks around for that 2012 season, or is he gone?
You guys are asking tough questions. You know how the media and the fans are. They in New York, if you know the pressure, if they don't make the playoffs, or let's put it this way, say they get off to another 6-2 start,
right,
or something like that, and then they don't make the playoffs again. Which has happened a couple times, or there have been a few times in Coughlin's career where they've gotten off to the fast start and just, you know, down the stretch they just ran out of steam, except for 2007 when they went on to win.
Right.
If they run into that kind of scenario again, the fan and media pressure in New York might force a move. I think the Mara and Tisch family like him.
Mm-hmm.
I think Coughlin's one of these guys that you'd have to force out with a gun, because I think he's coaching forever. I just, you know, I don't think he's as on firmer ground as people think he is, because I've been a Giants fan too long, and I've gone through, you know, the Ray Hanleys, the Dan Reeves, the Jim Fossils, when things sort of fell apart at the end, and the pressure from the fans was immense. I remember back in 2006, the year before the Giants won the Super
Bowl,
were chanting "Fire Coughlin" uh-huh. at the Saints game. So, you know,
they've
got to win. They've got to win. Yeah.
So Tom Coughlin is basically the Charlton Heston of the New York Giants. I'll leave here when you pry the headset away from my cold, dead hands.
I mean, don't you guys think that? I think the guy's going to be there as long as he wants to be. I mean,
you know what? A lot of people, a lot of fans forget he did win that Super Bowl. And listen, the Patriots were undefeated that year. So if I try to put this into perspective, Eric, I know the New York area suffers from Janet Jackson disease through and through, and that is "What Have You Done For Me Lately?" But if I could put it into perspective, it's if LeBron James came to the Knicks and won one championship, he would have been bronzed, immortalized, whatever. Tom Coughlin won that Super Bowl. So what fans have to remember is he did bring that trophy to New York.
Right.
And that was a magical run and a magical season and a magical win in the Super Bowl.
And not only that, but they were one of the strongest teams coming off a Super Bowl that I've seen in quite some time. They 2008, they looked like they were the best team in the NFL and were going to repeat until the Plaxico incident.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And which was bizarre. So, you know, he's a good coach. Is he Bill Belichick? No. But, you know, if you look around the league and you go through each team and you look at each coach, there are a lot of coaches out there that are not very good or are not in the same league as Tom Coughlin. And, you know, I had an email the other day from some fan who was so mad that they didn't sign Burris. He wrote me, he said, "I can't believe they didn't sign Burris. I want Coughlin and Eli Manning gone." So I responded. I said, "So you want to sign Burris?"
Yeah, we'll bring Dave
fire
Brown
Coughlin
back.
And Eli. You know, so you know, you know how fans can get. You know, they get passionate, and that's what Giants fans are great for. But sometimes you got to think about that.
I wonder if that fan remembers Dave Brown and Kent Graham backing him up.
Yeah. Hello? It wasn't too long ago when we had guys like, you know, Chris Callaway was our deep threat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Eric, I could talk to you all day about the Giants, but obviously we can't do that. You're a busy person. One more question for you. How will you be partnered with YesNetwork.com? Just let our fans know what the relationship, the marriage is going to be.
Yeah, basically, you know, we're cross promoting each other. Not that Yes needs me to promote them, but the Yes has asked me to be sort of like their Giants blogger. So when as I update my website, there's a link on. If you go, fans go to the Yes Network, they should see our updates there. You know, so we have a link back to Yes, to Yes's content and Yes's, you know, link to us for our content. So it's basically sort of a cross promotional relationship. And, you know, Yankees and Giants fans are, you know, usually, you know, if you're a Giants fan, you're usually a Yankees fan and all that. So it's a great relationship and, you know, I think it's just starting and it's going to be exciting.
Eric, you gained yourself a reader and a listener because I'm going to go home and listen to this again just to make sure I didn't, you know, miss anything. This was great. I really hope Giant fans take a listen because you gave us really great information, great interview. We appreciate it, and hopefully you'll join us again during the season.
Oh, anytime, guys.
All right, Eric. We really appreciate it. That's Eric Kennedy, BigBlueInteractive.com. And as he just told you, you can see all of the stuff on BigBlueInteractive.com. Via YesNetwork.com as well. Eric, thanks a lot, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll be back right after this.
Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the 2-time Emmy Award-winning video content at YesNetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features. Only at YesNetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast from my office at the Yes Network. Chris Sheeran, Joe Auriemma back with you. Another thank you to Eric Kennedy from Big Blue Interactive for joining us to talk a little Giants football. The CBA has been ratified. Football is full steam ahead. All the free agents that were signed are now allowed to practice. We're going to switch gears really quick. This isn't going to be long. I just have to get something off my chest. I've been waiting a little while since the trade deadline to get it off my chest. After the Yankees didn't make a move, all I read on websites, saw on ESPN.
How about SI?
Saw on SI.
Yeah.
All these
dropping
places.
Dropping the ball, yeah.
Yankees dropped the ball. Yankees, Brian Cashman whiffs. You know, listen, it's one thing to have to draw people to a site, sell a magazine, make people, tease people to watch your update show or whatever. What exactly did the Yankees drop here? What did they drop?
Yeah.
Ubaldo Jimenez. He was going to win a World Series for you? Wandy Rodriguez was going to be the difference maker? Hello? Eric Bedard, who was great on the Orioles. And remember, as a free agent, he could have went anywhere. Could have went to the Red Sox. Could have went to the Yankees. Where did he go? Seattle.
I have a couple comments here that I'd like to make.
Seattle.
Quick. Yeah.
He's with the Red Sox now.
Yeah.
No decision in his first start with the Red Sox. I want to know. I want to get all these quote unquote, and I'm saying it. I don't care. I want to get all these experts together. Sit them in my office, look at them in the face and say, all right, now tell me. Tell me. How Brian Cashman dropped the ball. Tell me how he whiffed. Because he saved Jesus Montero. Saved Manny Bañuelos. Brackman's still around. Stoneburner's still around.
Betances.
Noesi.
Romine.
Nobody went. For the first time at the trading deadline in a very long time, I am so proud that I'm a Yankee fan right now. So proud.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted to keep these kids in play. Let's see what they have. I'll give you three words. San Francisco Giants. Okay? Their starting rotation. All from the system. That's their base, okay?
Manny Bañuelos, you want to get rid of him? That's what you're telling me? You want to trade him for Ubaldo Jimenez?
Ask Ian Kennedy how he's doing in Arizona.
Yeah, hi, how you doing? Who, by the way, is a steal for the Indians. Because he's only making like 4.2, 4.2, and whatever the next 3 years. So why is a bargain, as that kind of a player, do the Rockies want to shop him? Why? Something's got to be fishy there.
Oh, I can give you an answer why.
Red flag's got to go up there for
some
reason.
I can give you an answer. Ready? 15-1 last year before the All-Star break with a 2.20 ERA, okay? Since that All-Star break in 2010, since that unbelievable 15-1 start, yeah, he's 10-16 with a 4.18 ERA. And guess what, Chris? That's in a horrid, horrid National League West against terrible lineups. So he has a 4.18 ERA and a 10-16 record against and that's over a year. That's a huge sample size. Huge. That's bigger than the 15-1 sample size for just the first half of a year. And you're telling me that you would want him to come into the American League
East.
And American League East to face those lineups when he can't even handle for the last year the NL West.
Which includes the Padres, by the way.
And you know what? No offense to the Giants, but their lineup's not, you know, breaking any banks either.
They don't need it to be though, because they have that amazing pitching.
But I'm saying Ubaldo Jimenez is pitching against that
line. I hear you humming. And let me end this. I told you it would be a quick segment. Let me end it with this. Okay? Everybody thinks Brian Cashman whiffed. He looked at strike three. I am looking at it as he took ball four and walked to first. He took a free pass. And I am in 100% total agreement with the non-moves by the Yankees at this trading deadline.
What, are you going to make a move just to make a move?
Exactly.
Oh, what, are you going to force something that's not there? The two big guys that went, Carlos Beltran and Hunter Pence, the Yankees did not need their services. They didn't need their services. Ubaldo Jimenez would have been a force move. A force move. Now, could they have made smaller moves to strengthen the bench? Yeah, maybe. You know, I heard that there was a rumor out there that Francisco Cervelli almost
went to the Pirates, right.
Which actually would have kind of gotten Jesus Montero
into the mix.
The mix. Yes, they could have done that. But you know what? If it's not there, it's not there.
But if you move Cervelli, Joe, that bring, you know, look at how, if you watch the post-game show, CC Sabathia works so well with Cervelli.
Right.
He works so well with this staff.
And
the
he's
Yankees
on a run.
Have.
He's on a you run know, right now.
He works well with Garcia. He works well with Colon. Colon's ERA is like two runs less when Cervelli is behind the plate catching him. Yeah. CC Sabathia loves Cervelli catching. So why would you take him out of the fold? Like Joe Girardi said in spring training, the position is catcher.
Yes. Yes.
And Cervelli does a great job behind the plate.
The one thing the Yankees really could have used is that basically ace behind the ace. And that ace was not available.
No, Felix Hernandez was not available. You want to say Felix Hernandez is coming back? Yeah, then Manny Bañuelos, go make your bones in Seattle.
So while the Yankees might...
I'll give you that.
Next to Justin Verlander and Jared Weaver, you know, CC Sabathia is in the mix as one of the top three pitchers,
mm-hmm.
if not the top pitcher, in the American League this year.
Especially right now.
I mean, Verlander's having an unbelievable
year.
Yeah,
Verlander's right there.
They're neck and neck. Okay. But past that, okay, you look at the Boston Red Sox, mm-hmm. okay? Josh Beckett is having a very good year.
An excellent bounce back year for Beckett, yeah.
John Lester is having a good year, but mm-hmm. guess what? Both guys are injury prone. But you have the ace behind the ace, okay? Mm-hmm. But what the Red Sox don't have, that the Yankees have, is that depth. The Yankees have the depth. They have Bartolo Colon, who's been great. They have Freddie Garcia, who, you know, 6 out of 8 times is going to give you
Nova.
A good run. Avon Nova's been amazing. He's a 10-game winner right now. 10-game winner.
And he might be going back to the minors.
And he went back to Scranton already, and he's already won 10
he
games.
He did?
Yeah.
They sent him back?
No, I'm not saying now. I'm saying they've already sent him back to AAA, and he's a 10-game winner. No, not now. But Phil Hughes had a good outing last time out. But the bottom line is the Yankees have something the Red Sox don't have. They have depth. John Lackey is not the answer there. Dice K is not, you know, he's hurt. Buck Holtz has a broken back. So the Yankees could be in a lot worse positions right now.
You're going to learn a lot about this Yankee team this weekend and this Yankee rotation. They've lost their last seven to the Red Sox. They're on a seven-game winning streak. They're probably playing the best baseball they've played all season long. And they've got their top three pitchers going this weekend. And the top three right now on this staff, Nova is a close four, by the way. I wouldn't rule him out. Okay, I love this kid.
I got to tell you.
I love the way he battles.
I think Ivan Nova's top three.
But I would agree with you. But I'm saying because he was sent down and because these other guys have been up here the whole time, the top three are going this weekend, and that is Bartolo Colon, CC Sabathia, and Freddy Garcia. And say what you want about Freddy Garcia. He's thrown a couple of stinkers, one of them against the Red Sox. CC Sabathia is 0-3 against Boston this year. How many losses does CC have? Five? Three of them are against Boston.
He's 16-2 against everybody else.
Okay, so he's got something to prove. It's not only Garcia and Colon. It's CC Sabathia who's got to throw some zeros up this weekend. And I'm telling you right now, if you've been watching the Yankees and Red Sox over the past 5 to 10 years, not a lot of zeros get thrown up on the board when these two teams play, especially at Fenway Park.
And for the Yankees to be in the position that they're in, being 1-8 against
the
Red
Sox.
And tied.
And they're tied.
This late in the season.
See, 1-8. 1-8 means nothing other than, you know, stupid fan bragging rights. Oh, we're 8-1 again. It doesn't really matter because look at the standings. They're tied for first. I really thought we needed this Yankee segment just to wrap things up, Joe.
I'm good.
And I needed to get some things off my chest about Brian Cashman whiffing. Oh, baby. All right. So, once again, we want to thank Mr. Eric Kennedy from BigBlueInteractive.com. For Joe Oriyama, I'm Chris Sheeran. We're about to go get some eats because we're both starving. And we will see you next time here on the Off the Wall podcast brought to you by DirecTV.